All right, let's dive into God's word today. And I'm just as a little note, in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be asking for some volunteers. Actually, four of them. I will reward you, and we're going to have some fun together. But I want you to just be thinking about that. In about 5 minutes, I'm going to need four volunteers. Now, I do want us, I know Karen led us in prayer, just to lead us in one brief prayer before we go dive into the word. You can follow along on columbiagrove.org message notes, or you go to our main page, just swipe right and you'll get there. And if you have your paper Bibles open, and I hope you do, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21 is the bulk of our time today. But as we pray, I would ask you to pray for two things. One, just pray that God would touch your heart with something this morning. And secondly, that he would equip you. Because you see, you're not just here to get fed. You're here to get fed so you can do stuff. So you are athletes. You are spiritual athletes. This is training ground. This is fuel up. But then it's time to get running. You know, this is a gas station. You are a car. We're going to fill your tank as best we can with God's word so that you can rev the engines. So I want you to be praying for how you can use this week. And that you may have somebody in mind that you're saying, God, would you just give me an opportunity to share a message of grace with them today? So anyways, would you just bow your heads with me as just pray for yourself and pray that God would use you this week to use something that you learned today to bless their life. Okay. Lord, I just want to thank you that we get to come around your word today. And Lord, I pray for each one of us that we would hear you in fresh ways today. And God, I pray that you would use these words to equip us to serve you. So friends, I just want to invite you just under your breath, however you like, just to ask God to meet you and to equip you today. And if you have somebody on your heart, especially, that you're praying for a chance to show grace to them this week, just under your breath, just lift them up. Amen. So this is a series all about grace. Our topic today is how grace changes you. Now, quick recap. We all kind of know we got problems, right? We look at the world around us. It's like Romans 8. The whole world is just groaning. And so whether that's all the weird weather, whether that's your friend with cancer, whether that's the crime, whether that's division, whether that's the corruption, lying, cheating, all sorts of crazy stuff going on everywhere, like there's something wrong with this world. This is not the way it's supposed to be, right? We know that there's something wrong in the world. Amen? But as we look in the world inside of us as well, we go, oh, there's something wrong there too. And, you know, we try to be good and it's, you know, we find ourselves getting hung up on some of the same kind of things. That the attitude you just can't shake. We're honest with ourselves. Most of the time, actually all of us probably most of the time, we're incredibly self-centered. You're like, you know, I would be over that by now. But I just got to see how many likes I have on Instagram. You know, like it's just we the world inside of us, we've got problems as well. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 puts it like this. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings and desires of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Me, 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 all me, all the time, like me. Because all we want is just our way right away all the time, right? As quick as possible. So we all have it. We all have this. We're all like this. We all want, I just want what I want. We want to gratify our own desires. We think about ourselves all the time. We think about what we want all the time. And it has horrific ramifications for the world. And so like the rest, the scriptures tell us, we were, by nature, deserving of wrath. Oh, don't like that word. But it's so important that we understand it. See, the good God of the universe, the good God of the universe wants this world to be good. And so when things go badly, when things are corrupted, when evil happens, when people kill one another, when there's rape, when there's Holocaust, when there's all this stuff, God doesn't like it. There is a fierce desire in God, a fierce anger, if you will, in God to make wrong things right, to make bad things better, to eradicate the wrong. God wants to get rid of sin in this world because God is good. In fact, you know, because we are made in the image of God, we have that desire too. Haven't you ever just said, well, God, why can't you just get rid of all the bad in the world? Just wipe that stuff out. Like, just every now and again, let the lightning really strike. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? We just want that to happen because we've got this desire, but we fail to see something that is so important as we're praying those prayers, however justified they may be and how justified they may feel. So if we ask God to eradicate the sin in the world, we'd be asking God to eradicate us. Because the problem isn't just around you, remember? The problem is inside you. I am a part of the problem. There is a disease in this world, and I am part of it. I am a carrier. I am contagious. Thank you. Sin is the problem, and I am part of it. And I dare say, friends, you are part of it too. We are, like the rest, by nature, deserving of wrath. And so, you know, on some level, God is faced with this impossible problem. Like, so do I eradicate sin or do I eradicate humanity? Choose one. Or actually, I put that wrongly. But to eradicate sin is to eradicate humanity. But God, in his great mercy, chose something completely different. He did the most creative, like just as he created the world, just the most creative, incredible thing to redeem the world. God personally got involved in the solution to our sin problem. And so Jesus comes to earth as a human being, fully God, fully man, and he redeems humanity. And so last week we talked about the doctrine of the atonement, this just foundational belief of what it means to be a Christian. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross as payment for your sin. Do you believe that? That the sin debt that we owe because of all the accumulated garbage that we have participated in and inherited, that it was paid for once and for all by Jesus Christ on the cross. And as he rose from the dead, he conquered sin and death on our behalf. And because he was fully God and fully human, he represented humanity before God in a new way. He is our new Adam. He is our new representative. So when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. When God looks at you, he sees his beloved child, his beloved son, his beloved daughter. That's good news. Do you hear it? I deserve hell, and I've been given heaven. I deserve death and I've been given life. I deserve condemnation. I've been raised, if we believe the scriptures, to be seated next to Christ. And the room is so quiet right now. It just feels like we should, like, this is like, what? We should, this is praise. This is the good stuff. This is what the gospel is. It's all about you, me, we. We are brand new people because of Jesus. And so as Christians, we hear it. Yes, grace, it's amazing. This is amazing grace. We sing it, we shout it, we dance it. I hope we do. You're allowed to get excited about grace, by the way. So we do all these things. We celebrate it. And then this is the point I want to start talking about today. And then we get to the thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus, for conquering sin and death on my behalf. Thank you, Jesus, for making a brand new person from the inside out, calling me your son, calling me your daughter, changing me on every level. Now what? Because we have this sense that things in our life are supposed to change as a result of grace. But here's where we make this really critical division, I guess. You could call it the divide between self-effort and spirit empowerment. I'm going to explain that a little bit. I'm not sure that's even the best words for it, but just hear me out, okay? See, we have a tendency to turn towards self-effort. Now, sometimes that sounds like really spiritual, like, Jesus, you have done so much for me. I just don't feel like I can ask you anymore, so I'll kind of take it from here. It sounds really spiritual, right? You've done so much for me, the least I could do is to clean up my act. The least I could do is just find a way to knuckle down and finally get my poop in a group, you know? I just offended some folks. I'm sorry for that. Okay, I don't. But you know what I mean? Like, you just, I should, you did so much for me, at least I could do that. But the truth is, on a deeper level, we just don't like to give up control. I don't either. So it's really, really hard. And so you know, you might have heard these kind of terms before. They want to go deeper into it because, you see, as we go into the scriptures today, we're going to discover there's an element of spiritual empowerment, like what it means to have the Holy Spirit living and moving in power in your life that you might have missed. And it has everything to do with the doctrine of the atonement, everything to do with it. But let's have a little illustration of the difference between self-effort and spirit empowerment. Here's where I need some volunteers. Okay, I need two volunteers. I will reward you, by the way. Two volunteers who are younger than fifth grade. Younger than fifth grade. Okay, in the back, younger than fifth grade. Okay, I saw a hand. You can do it. You want it? Okay. Two volunteers younger than fifth grade. Okay. Now. Okay. All right, we're going to have a good time today. Jude and Riley. Okay, boom. Okay, now I need two volunteers. You will also be rewarded for your time who are eighth grade or older. Eighth grade or older. Will you? Do you want to do this? Okay, Lauren and Patty, I saw your hands. Okay. You want? Okay, so, well, see, this will involve a blindfold. You good? Okay, we promise we will not embarrass you and we will not hurt you, and if you look to hurt yourself, we will stop you before you do. Got it?
Thank you.
Okay, all right. So now we're going to have some fun here. So I'm going to let's have a Jude and Patty. So Jude, you're going to be over here, and Patty, we're going to have you stand right here, and you're going to face this direction, and I'm going to put a blindfold on you.
Can I do it?
Yes, you can. Okay. Just no cheating. Okay. Over here. Okay, and Lauren. Okay, so Lauren, I'm going to have you stand right here and have you face this way. You can put a blindfold on, and Riley is going to be your buddy. Okay, the blindfolds are on. Okay. We have to, don't tell them. I'm making the clinking sound because it makes them really nervous. Okay, because they have no idea. Okay, so here's what self-effort is. Okay, here is what's going to happen. So Patty is going to talk to Jude. Can you see? Can you hold that for a sec? Okay. To Jude, like we often talk to God. She's going to say, "Tell me what to do." Okay, so I'll have her do that. We say, "Tell me what to do."
Tell me what to do.
Okay. So now it's going to turn, and so Jude is going to give her the instructions on what to do. Yeah, you have to. Can you say it? Can you say it as best you can?
Think five.
Well, you're going to have to guess. I know you can read. I'll help you just a little bit.
Is five steps forward.
Okay.
Turn the to the left by 90 directions.
Degrees. You got all this? Okay, here we go. try again. So
take five steps forward, turn the to the right by 90 directions.
Okay. Extend.
Extend the
thy hand.
Hand.
Clench thy fist.
Clench the fist.
partake
of the goodness.
Goodness. Okay, you got that? Okay, well, you asked God to tell you what to do, so go ahead. It's kind of hard sometimes, isn't it? Because you know, you listen, and it's hard sometimes to read it. It's a little bit tricky, you know. Sometimes that's the way it is with the Bible. You know, you read it, you don't totally understand it, but it's tricky, isn't it? So, do you feel like you can try anything? Or are you you're feeling a little stuck? You are you feeling? Do you feel like you have enough instructions to complete the mission?
No, sir.
Not so good. Okay. But this is sometimes how we are with self-effort. You know, we've heard it. She heard instructions that would actually get her to the goal. And by the way, the goal is pretty good, right? Yeah. You don't even know what it is, but it's good. Okay. All right. So, but here's the difference between that and spirit empowerment. We're going to add one other step. So Lauren is going to ask Riley just the same thing: is tell me what to do, and then would you just give the instructions? Okay, go ahead. So you say tell me what to do.
Oh, tell me what to do.
Okay. All right. So tell her what to do.
Take 5 steps forward. Turn thee to the left by 90 degrees. Take 5 steps forward. Turn thee to the right by 90 degrees, extend thy hand, clench thy fist, partake of the goodness.
Now? Yes.
Well, let's add one more step, though, because do you feel like you totally have it?
Yeah, go 5 steps forward, take the left, turn, go 5 steps forward, take the right.
You sure?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we're going to add one other factor, okay? Here's what I'm going to have you do. Okay, here's the difference.
Oh.
And partake of the goodness. All right, can we give a big round of applause? Now, Patty, you can take your off, and you can take your blindfold off, by the way, thank you. And here's a reward. Here we go. Skittles for everybody. Skittles for everybody. Skittles for everybody.
Thank you.
And thank you very much. Oh, thank you. Okay. All right. But that's one of the differences between self-effort and spirit empowerment. It's the same instructions. But one is just, you know, hearing. The other is actually having, in this case, you know, the illustration of having God lead you the entire way. So here, there's two things, if you're taking notes, that I hope you'll remember today. Two big ideas. The first is this, okay? The same grace that saved you can also change you. The same grace. Same grace that resulted in Jesus paying for your sin on the cross. The same grace that rose Jesus from the dead, conquering sin, death, and evil on your behalf. The same grace that represents you before God can also change you right now. And so, when you think about discipleship or sanctification, transformation, however you want to put it, here's the second point to remember. Discipleship, Christian discipleship, is becoming who you already are in Christ. It's learning to see yourself in the same way that God has already declared you to be, how God already sees you. And how does God see you? Who are you? Let's just talk a little bit. Who are you in Christ? What do we know from the scriptures? Who are you? You're a child of God. Who else? You're beloved. What else? Yes. Yes. What else? Try. Amplified version? He loves you? He loveth. He loves us. That's right. That's right. It's becoming who we already are in Christ. And so this is where I want us to open up Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Because there's a piece in here that we often miss. And my prayer is today, this is just going to open up something for somebody today. And the key word I want us to remember here, because this is also, it's an all-scape, I need your help, congregation. The key word in this passage is power. Power. So here's what I need you to do. Every time you hear the word power, I need you to make the sound of a revving engine. Let's try it. Power. Oh, that's good. I know there's a lot of guys in the congregation because, you know, guys, this is what we do. We talk in sound effects. Okay. All right. It's for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that of his glorious riches he might strengthen you with power, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how, not quite yet. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy, well, I'm just going to keep doing it, all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We just have to stop there for a moment. Okay? Yeah. Now, if you are a Christian, one of the things that's happened in your life already, spiritually, there's been a transaction. You asked Christ to come into your heart, and guess what? He did. He did. And so inside you lives the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of Jesus. It is living inside your heart. It's a little bit like an engine. God is waiting to fill your life with power, to follow him. Fill your life with power for transformation. But this engine, there is a fuel for this engine. Now, what did this passage tell us? See, I pray that you, being rooted and established in what? Love, may have. So being rooted and established in love, whose love? God's love. May have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how high and wide, high and long and deep and wide is the love of Christ. See, there is a fuel for this engine that lives inside of you. And it's knowing the love of Christ. Do you see that? Like that's the fuel. That's the fuel. When we know how much we're loved, when we remember how much Jesus has done for us, who we are in Christ, the engine, it starts to rev up with power. Come on. Power. That's right. And see, this is super important because you and I, we both know what we have a tendency to do, don't we? Let me see your eyes. See, we have a tendency, as we're looking for the life, for the changes in our life, we have a tendency to leverage for ourselves guilt, shame, or sometimes hatred. Andrew, you are such a knucklehead. So disappointed with you. Why can't you be nicer? Come on, jerk. Does anybody else have inner conversations a little bit like that sometimes? Come on! You'd think you'd have it together by now. So here's what you need to know. Let me see your eyes again, okay? You cannot hate yourself into life transformation. You can't. You cannot guilt yourself into life transformation. You can't condemn yourself into life transformation, because the power that Ephesians 3 is talking about, the power of being rooted and established in what? Love. That's what helps us to be filled to the measure, to the full, to the overflow, to the, it's getting ready to blow. It's just, we are filled up with, to the measure of the fullness of God. It's when you know how much Christ loves you that our lives can truly change. Please do not despise the one that the Lord loves. So how do we do this? So how do we do this? Now, I heard this question this week. I was at a pastor's retreat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and there was a speaker there that was actually was a really powerful experience, because I mean one of the sermons was just actually somebody just saying the book of Philippians, like just quoting it, like by memory. It was like, wow, this is incredible. But there was a provocative question, and it kind of got me thinking. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead a couple of slides here, just so you can, John, so you can put it on the screen. But here's the question: do you enjoy Jesus? Do you enjoy Jesus? I know you do. Do you enjoy Jesus? To allow yourself to just spend time in his presence, and that's the key to understanding the word and being in it, just to soak in it. God, you are so good to me. Jesus, you love me so much. Holy Spirit, thank you for being present in my life. That with you, there is an endless source of peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That might sound familiar from Galatians. It's all there. All I ever need. It's right there. You're that close. You love me that much. So, Lord, help me to enjoy you. Lord, I enjoy you. Just want to challenge you. You know, because this isn't to add to your should list, okay? Because here's the part that can get tricky, is you think, okay, all right, I've heard this. It's kind of like, let go and let God. That's what you're saying. Like, just, you know, chill out, Andrew. Don't worry so much about your own life change. Let God do it. And is that what I'm saying? Yes, except for not entirely. Because here's the thing. Sometimes when we kind of take the let go and let God approach, it's like, okay, I'm going to let God do it. So I'm just going to be sitting back here on the couch, just, you know, watching TV and munching on bonbons. And Jesus is going to do the work. And it's true that Jesus is going to do the work. But the work that he's going to be doing is you and him in relationship together. It's challenging me to be thinking different about my devotional life, and, you know, less about, like, you know, can I crank through, you know, one or two or three chapters of the Bible a day? All right, I got it done. Like, I got it done in 4 minutes today, and yesterday it took me 6. I must be making spiritual progress. No. Challenging me to think differently about my walk. Like, just to spend time with the Lord. To remember who he is. To remember who I am in him. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. May we be people who truly enjoy Jesus. Just challenge you, spend some time with him. No agenda other than just spend time with him. Build the relationship, and he will build the rest. Stop beating yourself up and let him do what he already has begun the work of doing. That you would see yourself as the righteous, called, chosen, holy person that he already sees you to be. You are already that in Christ. Let him do that work in you. Because just imagine what could happen if all of us did that. Because here's where we get to the even better stuff. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. According to his, what's the word? Power. That is at work in who? Us. Do you realize the latent power that exists in the church because of the Holy Spirit? All these God engines. Oftentimes just idling. Billions of people. What could happen if we actually tapped in? We remembered how much Christ has done for us. We understand how much we are loved. See, loved people, they love. Forgiven people, forgive. People who realize how much they've already been served, there's a desire to serve. So we tap into the deep root. We tap into that atonement. We tap into what Jesus has already done, that we may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, that you and me and us would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And what could happen then? More than anything you could ever ask or imagine. What do you imagine? As I look at the local church, I know what I imagine. See, I imagine what it's like to have an intergenerational congregation where grandparents and their grandkids worship together and enjoy some of the same songs. I imagine that. Imagine a community where people experience so much grace and love that they can come in broken and leave whole. I imagine a place where we trust God so much that we actually see supernatural things happen. That's what I long for. I imagine it. That's the local church. I'm so grateful to be a part of a local church. Because there's so much that God wants to do in you, and 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 you. But even more, what he wants to do in us. And now to him who can do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Church, dream big. Dream big, because God can dream bigger. Dream as big as you like. Dream bigger than you like. Stretch it as far as you can go, because the Lord can dream bigger. He can do immeasurably more than all you could ask or imagine through his power that is at work in you. Tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, and you, and you. So as we start to live out what it means to be that family of faith, as we imagine. Actually, I want to invite our kids to come forward. Because you see, the power for the church, for transformation, for the power of the church, for mission, is rooted in something so fundamental that we can easily miss it. So we're going to sing a song together. This may be the first song you ever learned. And if in your life, and I don't mean to be overly melodramatic, if these are the last words that leave your lips before you go to see the Lord, you'll have sung a really great song. This is what it is all about. church. Some of you probably already know what we're about to sing. I want you to stand. Let's stand together. We're going to close in prayer, and our kids are going to lead us. Would you play an A? There it is.
Jesus loves me this I.